God can do stuff without you knowing or having any idea of how he's going to pull it off, because he doesn't need raw materials to do what he's going to do.
Dr. Tony Evans says when we pray to the Lord, we need to remember who's listening.
Your daddy is so big, he can bypass raw material to pull off answered prayer. That's the daddy you want to talk to.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. Prayer is a privilege, but Dr. Evans says it's one we often misunderstand or take for granted. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6 as we join him for a look at the model all prayers ought to follow.
In Luke's rendition of the Lord's Prayer, in Luke 11:1, the disciples went to him and said, "Teach us to pray. We see this power you have, these miracles you do. We see this direction and this hookup you have with God. We want in on that. Teach us to pray." And that leads Jesus to tell them the Lord's Prayer, as it is known. It really could be called the disciples' prayer, because this is a prayer that Jesus could never pray. See, Jesus can't pray this prayer because it says, "Forgive us our trespasses." And he would never need to be forgiven. So it's really not his prayer to pray. It's him teaching us how to pray. Now, the Lord's Prayer is divided into a very simple flow, two halves, if you will. The first half is concerned with God. "Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." It's about thy or you. The second half is about us, our daily bread, our trespasses. Lead us not into temptation. So the first half is all about God. The second half is about you. And then, of course, he closes it with prayer about God again. "Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen." So it's God, us, God. What leads Jesus into this prayer from verse 8 is his statement that God knows our needs. Your Father already knows before you ask what you're coming to him to talk about. So prayer is not an informational session to inform God. He says, I already know what you want to talk about. I just want to know, do you want to talk to me about it? Our Father, who is in heaven, who operates out of that realm, but I'm praying because I need you in this realm. And then he comes to it. Here it is. "Hallowed be thy name." Hallowed be thy name. The Greek word "hallowed" means to be sacred, separated, and unique. It's to treat as one of a kind. It's to treat as special, a class by itself. It's from one of the cognates of the word holy, to be separate, unique, special. Daddy, there's nobody like you. He's not to be treated like just another deity or just another greater. No, you are diminishing his name. That's why the third commandment says, don't take the name of the Lord in vain. That means don't not hallow his name. Don't treat his name as ordinary. Don't treat his name as something regular. We're dealing with super unleaded here, not regular. What does it mean to not hallow his name? That is, to treat his name in vain. There's a lot of ways you can do that. Comedians do it by profaning his name. They will put his name or Jesus' name at the end or at the beginning of cuss words or of evil, and they profane his name. They take the great name of God and they desecrate it. That's not to hallow his name. Or maybe it's not something that radical. Maybe you knew you were lying, but you said, "So help me God." So you used his name to back up your lie or your deception. It's bad enough you lied, but to put his name on it. That's why when you go to court, do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God. Now, why do they make you do that? Because what they're saying is, if you're going to lie, after having put your name with God's name, you have perjured yourself. Because once you do that now, once you bring God's name into it, you shouldn't be lying attached to it. That's how serious, in principle, they use the hand on the Bible, and so help you God, because you can profane his name. The word vain means empty, with no real reason. You're just throwing it out and not recognizing the significance of it. Okay, I've said this before, but to understand this idea of hallowing, making it sacred, treating it like it's unique. Hallowed be your name. So that means we got to talk about his name. Now, the Bible does not use names like we use them. We use names because we like them. We name our kids maybe after somebody, or because we like the sound of that name. That's how we do it. But in the Bible, typically names were tied to meanings. So kids were named by parents based on the meaning of the word. Sometimes negative if they were under negative circumstances. So names had meaning, like Jabez, pain, because the mother was in pain when she bore him. So she gave him a name, Jabez, okay? So purpose is involved with naming. That's why God would often change names when he changed purposes. Abram became Abraham. Sarai became Sarah. He would change names when he changed destinies or purposes, okay? So names in the Bible have meaning. You and I would probably never name our kid Hitler. Adolf Hitler. We probably wouldn't do that. We probably wouldn't name our kid Benedict Arnold, because that name would have a bad association with it. And we won't want people associated with that name. So we are careful what we don't name people. Well, when God wanted to express himself, he does it through name, including his own. So the better you know his name, now we know the name God, but that is a generic umbrella name. I want to break it down. Break it down. In my book on the names of God, I have in the back listed 85 names in the Old Testament for God. 85 names, because those names have meaning. So when he says, hallow be your name, if you don't know his name, you can't hallow him. To put it another way, the better you know his name, the more you can hallow him, because you'll have more information on your daddy. So let's go over God's names. Now, we can't do all 85, but what I want to do is give you his three foundational names, because all the other names are really derivatives of the three foundational names. So if you get the three foundational names straight, you'll be well on your way. You should learn the others, but let's get the three foundational names straight so you can hallow his name as you talk to your daddy in prayer. First of all is the name Elohim. That's the name in Genesis 1. In the beginning, Elohim, God, created the heavens and the earth. Normally in the Bible, when you see G-O-D, God, it typically is referring to Elohim. That is the creator God. Now, Elohim is a plural term. Im is plural. El is strong one. The context of Elohim, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth, discusses God as the creator God. This is his power name. So El or Elohim is his power name. He creates with that name. Now, you need to know that name, because you're going to need power in your life. You're going to need God to do something. So let me tell you a little bit about Elohim's power. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, that God created out of things which do not appear. We call it in theology ex nihilo, which means out of nothing. So God made the heavens and earth without having any raw material to work with. He created creation out of nothing. Now, your children are being lied to in school by being taught the evil doctrine and religion of evolution, because it is a religion. The religion of evolution, or what I call fairy tales for adults, says that nothing produced everything. They even have this ignorant theory out there called the Big Bang Theory, where there's an explosion bringing the universe into existence. Well, have you ever seen a bomb explode something and everything fall back down to be unified? Blow up a building, but all the bricks are going to fall back down and be in place, okay? This is because men don't want to have to answer to God, so they got to come up with a theory that keeps God out of the issue because they don't hollow his name. Why do you need to know his name is Elohim? Because you need to know that God can do stuff without you knowing or seeing or having any idea of how he's going to pull it off, because he doesn't need raw materials to do what he's going to do. He can do what he's going to do when you don't know how he's going to do it. That's why God had to tell Mary, when he told Mary, you're going to have a baby, even though you're a virgin. She says, that doesn't make sense. There's no sperm involved here. There's no man involved here. What you just said can't happen. The angel looked at her and said, you don't know his name. Let me explain something. Nothing is impossible with God. He's Elohim. He doesn't need raw material if he plans to pull it off anyway. When you know your daddy is so big that he doesn't have to have raw material, you don't have to be able to figure it out. You don't have to understand how you're going to hook it up, because your daddy is so big, he can bypass raw material to pull off answered prayer. That's a daddy you want to talk to.
The Bible uses many names for God, and Dr. Evans will have more about that when he continues our message in just a moment. First, though, I want to let you know we're bundling all 8 full-length messages from Tony's current series, The Lord's Prayer, on both CD and digital download, along with God is More Than Enough, his popular book about living your life based on the 23rd Psalm. Both of these life-changing resources are yours with our thanks when you make a contribution to help keep Tony's messages coming to this station and others like it around the world. Visit TonyEvans.org right away to get the details and take advantage of this special offer before time runs out. The alternative is a 100% listener-supported broadcast, so we depend completely on you to keep this important work going. Again, that's TonyEvans.org, or call our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222. It never closes, so there's no need to wait. That's 1-800-800-3222. I'll repeat that information again after part 2 of today's lesson and this.
You can't help everybody, but you do all the good you can. By all the means you can, you do the best you can.
Let's replace hurting with hope. Tony Evans' Kindness in the Culture campaign encourages you to be an ambassador of kindness. Help someone in need just once a week. Offer to pray for them, then share the gospel with them through our kindness cards. Visit TonyEvans.org to learn more.
And if the Holy Spirit led each of us to do one thing a week, that's thousands of people who will know that God cares, because we just didn't do nice things. We did it in God's name.
Well, let's return to our message now. Here's Dr. Evans.
Second name, foundational name, Jehovah or Yahweh. That is the name God gave himself. When you read your Bible and you see capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that is typically Jehovah or Yahweh. That is God's relational name. It's his covenant name. It's his connect with you name. Moses asked, who shall I say sent me? He says, you tell him I am that I am. I am a relational God. You have to understand, God, that's why he uses Father, is a relational being. So if you don't want to relate to Jehovah, you may not get the benefit of Elohim. See, everybody wants Elohim. Show me your power. But not a lot of folk want Jehovah. Give me the relationship. And God won't give you all of Elohim if you don't want none of Jehovah. You don't want to spend time with him. You don't want to get to know him. You don't want to study him. You don't want to learn him. You don't want to apply him. You don't want to interact with him. You don't want to include him, but you want the blessing. You want the power. You want the deliverance. His name is Jehovah when it comes to relational expression of Elohim. That's why in Genesis chapter 1, the only name in Genesis 1 is Elohim, because he's creating the stars and the moon and the sun and the animals. And he's doing all that. But in chapter 2, verse 4, when he begins creating people, you don't read Elohim anymore by itself. You read Jehovah Elohim, or as you'll see it in the Bible, the Lord God, the Lord God, the Lord God. Why? Because man would see Elohim when he got connected with Jehovah. So if you want to see more power, get closer to Daddy, because Daddy is the one who dispenses the Elohim power of God. Don't have a long distance with God and expect close-up deliverance, close-up blessing, close-up fire, close-up protection, close-up provision, but you keep a long distance from your daddy. No, he wants to be Jehovah. Then the third foundational name is Adonai. Adonai means your boss, your manager, your supervisor, your owner, the one in charge of you. That's Adonai. So Elohim is his power. Jehovah is his relationship. And Adonai means that he's in charge of you. So if you don't want God telling you what to do, don't be calling on Elohim and don't be thinking you're getting close to your Jehovah, because he is in charge. He wants to call the shots. You ever have a kid? I did this with my father. My father would come to me and he says, Tony, I want you to do this, 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 and this. I would say sometimes, Daddy, I think. He said, ho, 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 whoa, whoa, whoa. I don't remember requesting you for your thoughts. I don't, in fact, I don't want your thoughts. I don't need your thoughts. I just need you to do what I told you to do. That's what I told you to do. The greatest insult you can give to God is when he clearly says something and you tell him what you think. Now, me as a father, my father, we have limitations because sometimes we might be wrong. But you're dealing with somebody who can never be wrong. So when God says something and it becomes clear that this is God saying it, the only thing you get to think about is how you're going to apply it. You don't get to think about whether it is valid or not. Let God be true, scripture says, and let every man be a liar. So whenever you, your people, your mama, your daddy, your auntie, your uncle, your posse disagrees with God, everybody wrong. Because this name has no imperfection associated with it. We think about understanding it, then applying it, but never determining it. And the worst insult a Christian can give their father is, Daddy, you don't know what you're talking about. That is not hallowing his name. Just some of the key scriptures about the name of God. He says, for example, in Psalm 34, verse 1 and verse 3, we are to magnify the name. He says in Hebrews 13, verse 15, you are to give thanks for God's name. He says in 2 Timothy 2:19, he says, when you go public, you ought to wear God's name. He says in Psalm 8, verse 1 and verse 9, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. He says in Psalm 111, verse 9, awesome is his name. And if his name is awesome, nobody else's name is. He says, awesome is his name. He says in Psalm 29, verses 1 and 2, ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. The Bible says, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, may the name of the Lord be praised. In Proverbs 18, verse 10, he says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and anyone who runs into it will find safety. So we're not just talking about nomenclature. We're talking about a name above every name. And guess what? The greatest name in the world is your daddy. The most powerful name in the world is your heavenly father. So you ought to magnify the name. That's not just being emotional. Emotionalism is when you're making a lot of noise about nothing. But true emotion is when you're making a big deal about something. So when God does something in your life because you've joined him in prayer, then you ought to hallow his name. And then all the combination names, we don't have to go into it. But oh, if you run out of provision, he's Jehovah Jireh. He's the Lord who provides. If you're being attacked, he's Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner who gives me victory. If you're in turmoil, he's Jehovah Shalom, because he's the God who brings peace. If somebody over you is treating you wrong, he's El Elyon, the Most High God. That means that whoever messes over you doesn't have the last say over you, because there's somebody over them. If you're going through a struggle and you don't have enough strength, he's El Shaddai. He's God Almighty. He can pull the weight when you can't pull it. If nobody knows what you're going through, because you're going through by yourself, he's El Raw. He's the God who sees, and he knows what you're dealing with. And we could go on and on and on. My whole point is, he's got a name for your every situation. But I know you won't remember 85 names. And you may even forget the three names. But if you forget how to technically call the name, just do what the old folks used to do. Because they would say, he's a doctor in a sick room. He's a lawyer in a courtroom. He's a bomb in Gilead when you're sick. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the bright and morning star. If you can't remember the name, just describe the person. And then when you see him show up, and the power of hollering his name as you treat him as father, do like the team will do when the defense scores. They just go and they do that. They say, give it up, give it up. What they're saying is, I want everybody to join me in celebration of what just happened. When you discover the Heavenly Father and what he can do, you better not keep it to yourself. You better give it up. You better give it up. You better give it up. You better give it up and give him the glory due his holy name.
If you don't have the kind of relationship with God that Dr. Evans described today, if you don't know what it means to be a real Christian, to be able to call God your Heavenly Father, well, stay with us. Tony will come back in a moment to wrap up the program with a look at how you can do that. But first, I want to remind you to stop by TonyEvans.org and get that special double offer I mentioned earlier, a copy of Dr. Evans' current series, The Lord's Prayer, and his powerful, life-changing book, God is More Than Enough, an in-depth look at how Psalm 23 can help you realize this simple truth: if the Lord is your shepherd, he will meet all your needs. Both of these resources are great tools for digging deeper into what we've been learning here. We'd like you to have these as our thank you gift when you make a contribution to help us keep Tony's teaching on the station. Contact us today at TonyEvans.org to get the details and make the arrangements. Or give us a call on our 24-hour resource request line at 1-800-800-3222. That's 1-800-800-3222. The Bible tells us to bring our requests to the Lord. But next time, Dr. Evans will explain why those requests ought to have more to do with God's agenda than our own. Right now, though, he's back to talk about the most important decision you could possibly make.
You're not a Christian because you're religious, or because you go to church, or even because you believe in God. You're a Christian because you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal sin bearer. Being religious, doing good works, that's nice, but it's not sufficient when God demands perfection. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So what God has said is, he placed your sin on the cross, on the Christ, and then judged Christ for your sin. If you will go to Christ, he will take Christ's righteousness, which is perfect, and he will credit it to your account. So you will stand before God as though you've never sinned, not because you're sinless, but because you've got a sinless credit on your account. If you will receive Jesus Christ right now, if you will invite him into your life, believing that he died for you and rose for you personally, he will credit your account with perfection because he's already credited your sin on to Jesus Christ. So go to Christ right now and get this free gift of salvation that he's offering to all who come to him for it.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative, and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.